How many of you know the words, or at least some of the words, to the 23rd Psalm? What do you think? This is something that everyone, at least you know what are the opening words to the 23rd Psalm. Yes, people are shaking their heads. You know. You just don't want to jump in and seem aggressive.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Oh, thank you very much. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's beautiful. Okay. Here's what we find. Correct me if I'm wrong. When we find those words, the Lord is my shepherd, the word Lord is a bit odd. It's interesting. It's not just as we would expect to find the word Lord, like that. It is instead printed this way, with all capitals. Now, sometimes you'll see it in all large capitals. Sometimes you'll see it in with a large L and then small capital O, R, and D, but neither of them, it's still all capitals. Well, there's not that many words we find in our Bible that are printed in all capital letters. That's kind of a unique thing, don't you think? What's going on here, do you suppose? Okay. Well, there is an indication, something being indicated by the fact that this word Lord is printed as it is, given as it is. And that is that our translators are trying to tell us something. It's kind of subtle. We may not realize it unless we maybe read in the translator's prefaces to our Bibles. Here I'm reading from the preface NASB. Here's what they tell us. It says, there is another name which is particularly assigned to God as his special or proper name. That is the four letters YHWH. And then they quote Exodus 3:14 and Isaiah 42:8. So it goes on to say the name, that name, YHWH, that's not the Hebrew, by the way, that's in our English letter equivalents, right? Okay. They say that that name has not been pronounced by the Jews because of reverence for the great sacredness of the name. Interesting. Therefore, it has been consistently translated Lord with all capital letters. Okay. Sometimes small caps, but still capital letters nevertheless. Isn't that interesting? Okay, so that's from the New American Standard Bible. So what they're saying is, and let me enlarge on it just a little bit, the Jews of olden times, most olden times, put it that way, pronounced this name. When they read it in the scriptures, they said it out loud. They used it as they went about their lives in day-to-day events of their lives. And so there it was. What happened, though, is that later generations of Jewish folks began ceasing to pronounce the name. Because they thought the name is so holy and so much to be revered that we shouldn't even speak it out loud. We shouldn't say it out loud. What do you think? Interesting, isn't it? So, as a consequence, they let the pronouncing of the name kind of go by, and they began pronouncing in its place. When you're reading the scriptures, you're still coming to it. So what do you say? And the answer is that they chose to say a Hebrew word that's their equivalent of the word Lord, our word Lord. Okay. And actually, it's Adonai is the name that they would say, the word they would say, and it means Lord. So they began substituting verbally the word Adonai, Lord, in place of the special, sacred name of God. Interesting. Everybody with me so far? Okay. Well, What happened was, with the passage of time, people lost sight of how to say it. Many, many centuries went by, and we lost sight of how you would pronounce that name. Didn't know. So after the Protestant Reformation got going, and we find ourselves with Martin Luther translating the Bible out of Latin into vernacular languages, okay, German to begin with, and then we find it over into English, which finds us, right? That's there we are. We were faced with a problem, our translators were. And this goes all the way back to early English translations. And that is, they're still in the Hebrew text coming across the Hebrew letters, which are our equivalent of YHWH, but they weren't certain about what pronunciation it would have, and they weren't sure what vowels would be inserted in this, because it's all consonants, because in the Hebrew language, it was all consonant letters. They didn't have vowels. They had vowels, of course, which they spoke, but they didn't have vowels in the written language. Interesting, isn't it? So as a consequence, our translators, and those of you who follow the King James, we'll pick up on this as early as 1611, and before that, our translators were faced with a problem. What do we do? We don't know for sure what vowels to put in. We don't know how to pronounce it exactly. But we've got to do something when we come across this word, the name of God, which occurs 6,023 times, according to Charles Ryrie. What do we do? Okay. Well, basically what happened was we decided, as translators, we will substitute our word Lord. Because the Jewish folks had done that a great deal. And sometimes they don't just substitute their word Lord. Sometimes they substitute other words as opposed to saying the name. Even to this day, this is the tradition among the Jews. So sometimes if you're happen to be in a Jewish synagogue or listening to a Jewish person, when they want to talk about God or say that name, they will not say the name. They'll say something in place of it. Perhaps, Lord, perhaps they'll say the heavens. But you know that means his name. Okay. So on. Okay. Well, the English translators said, okay, that's what we'll do then. Because the Jews themselves have been substituting their word for Lord, and that's gone on for centuries. Why don't we just substitute our English word for Lord, and that'll do it. So we do decide to do this substitution. Okay. So, I got to thinking, though. They said, well, that doesn't seem quite fair, because then people will not realize that it's not just the regular word Lord. We need to tip them off, at least let them know that this word is a stand-in for God's name, so that they will realize that as they're reading. Give them a hint there. So they came up with this convention of, let's just do it all in capital letters. That will be odd. And every time somebody reads the word Lord as it occurs in all capital letters, they'll know that that's a stand-in for the name of God. Interesting, isn't it? Now, and that's interesting too, because as we know in our English translations, the regular word Lord occurs a lot. It's in there as well. But we're going to distinguish it from the regular word Lord with all capitals, and then the public will know as they read our translations that we're talking about God's name. Interesting, isn't it? Okay. Well, it turns out that this occurs a lot, as we've said, 6,823 times by one count. That means, I don't know how many pages there are in your particular version of the Old Testament, but that's going to be on a lot of pages, don't you think? Now, a little aside, back at the end of the 19th century, well, and along through those times, and on into the 20th a bit, there came to be this idea that we would just insert the vowels of another word, okay, and we'll just have us a pronounceable name. And who knows what name resulted from that sort of confluence of letters. Anyone? Anyone? What do you think? Yes, please? Jehovah. Thank you very much. You were going to say the same thing, weren't you? All right. So, the word Jehovah is actually a, for lack of a better way to express it, it's a made-up word. It's a made-up name. And you don't have to take my word on that. You can just investigate and you'll find out pretty quickly. The venerated American Standard Version, 1901, somewhere in there, they used the word Jehovah. So we just, what we did was we took equivalents of the YHWH, changed the Y to a J, and then we inserted some vowels and said, there it is. Okay. Now we have a name. And so you'll find it all through your American Standard Version, which, by the way, is a great version. However, translators, since the American Standard, went back to using Lord. Why? Because they realized there's no basis in fact for using Jehovah. So that's a little difficult then for some of our folks who really drove a stake in the name Jehovah. I think, by the way, it's a beautiful word. It's not a name that in the Bible anyone would have recognized. You know, but a lovely word Sharon has occasionally sung a song called In the Presence of Jehovah. It's beautiful. I love it. But I know who we're talking about. But I also know that's not anything near what the name was actually pronounced. Well, the translators knew that too. So we came back and said, let's get back on track and let's just say that we're going to just use Lord again. And usually with the small capitals, O, R, and D. Okay. So that's why probably the translation you hold today is using this code, if you will. Now, here's what I think. And I was struggling with this the other night, and it just happened that my friend Kirk came by and gave me the much-needed boost that I needed in order to understand what I was missing, what I was wanting to say about this. I was saying, what is the problem? Because I feel like there's a problem that results from us doing this. And what is the problem? Well, Kirk, in his inimitable fashion, just bang, what I had been studying on and thinking on. What is it? What is it? What are we missing? What's the deal here? And he just said, oh, you know, it's one of those things that almost irritates you. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, he says, oh, well, it's intimacy. I said, yeah. Oh, yeah. He said, when David, I was telling him about this, and he said, when David said, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, he was actually calling him by name. There was a sense of person and intimacy that David had with God that by using the word Lord in whatever fashion, we've kind of lost. So one of the things I'm saying in this part of my book is that it's kind of unfortunate because the word Lord might sound more like a title than a name, or it might sound more like an office than a name. But when David was saying, the Lord is my shepherd, he was actually calling God by name. And I think that's nice. I like that. Well, there's been some progress made in language. Since the days when we took this unfortunate trek into using the word Jehovah, which just didn't work. And linguists and Bible scholars and historians pretty well came to an agreement. They said that actually, it looks as though the name, which is this mystery, was probably pronounced Yahweh. That's, the E has sort of the effect of a long. Okay. So, Yahweh. Okay. And so, scholarship kind of settled down to that conclusion. So then there's been some thought, well, why don't we just go ahead and start using the word Yahweh in our translations then? How many of you have heard the word Yahweh along the way? Of course. Okay. I think in future translations, somewhere along the way, somebody is going to venture out and say, let's just use the word Yahweh rather than this stand-in word Lord. And why haven't they so far? Why haven't they done that? Well, I think... let me read to you again from the New American Standard Bible and the preface. And here's what they say, and there's something important here. It is known that for many years, and those of you who have the NASB, you can read this in your preface as well, it's the same. It is known that for many years, YHWH has been transliterated as Yahweh. Okay, this word. However, and this is the catch, however, no complete certainty attaches to this pronunciation. Ha! What that means is that while scholars feel that it was pronounced this way, and that these English letters would represent the vowels best in Hebrew, from Hebrew, we're not absolutely certain that that's the way it was pronounced. What do you think? So they're reluctant then. Say, let's just go on using our code word. And the Jews don't like to say the name anyway. They still feel like it shouldn't be said out of reverence. So Yahweh, and then we have folks, and I don't necessarily feel like this is wrong, but there are those who think that perhaps it should be Yahweh. Okay. With more of a with more of an ah. and here's an interesting thing. They could be right about that. Okay, there are different folks. We have some in the community, and then we have other people who have also said that same thing. Well, interestingly enough, then, we stick with Lord, the rather nondescript word to describe the name of God. I think that, again, the problem is that as we read the word Lord 6,823 times in our Old Testaments, we don't have the sense of intimacy as Kirk drew to my attention, and we've lost something there. You know, it's like if we have Ray and Brenda, and if Brenda, every time she wanted to refer to Ray, said, husband. Well, that's true, okay. But probably it's good for her to call him by his name, Ray. Okay. And whether she calls you other things, we don't know. We don't really want to know. Oh, yeah. So, but that's kind of what we're doing here. We're calling God, who may have been called Yahweh or Yahweh or Yahweh or Yahweh. We're calling him by sort of a generic word, and we miss that. Interesting, don't you think? So, I think that's a kind of a problem. We're losing something here. And as Kirk also so wonderfully told me, we need to get it back. Okay. Well, I can't solve this problem from a theology standpoint. I can't resolve it right now. I do think that in the future, Yahweh has become so widely accepted, eventually you're going to begin to see some translations that use that word. That's what I think. But let's take a look then add another dimension to all of this that I think is important. That is, that everything we've just said about Lord, standing in for the name, essentially applies to the Old Testament, our Hebrew Bible, as we call it. Okay. When you come to the New Testament, it doesn't work. What do you think's going on here? All of a sudden, we've been reading Lord, capitals O-R-N-D, 6,823 times throughout our Old Testament. We hit the New Testament, and boom, it's gone. What do you think has happened? Interesting problem. And I, in a way, I wish we still had it. I wish it had carried. Here's the difference, and we'll just make it simple, but the Hebrew Old Testament, the Old Testament written in Hebrew, versus the Greek in the New Testament. Ha, we've just shifted languages. Very interesting. Well, when we shifted languages, the New Testament text then is not going to give us YHWH, or the equivalent of that in Hebrew. Doesn't happen. We get to the New Testament, and all our writers are writing in Greek. Wow. And what do you suppose the word, the base word, Lord, would be in Greek then?
Kurios.
Kurios, yes. Okay. So, that is kind of the base word for Lord. And when we get over here, apparently that's what the actual writers went ahead and wrote. They didn't write down YHWH like the folks in Old had done. They just wrote down Kurios, Greek word for Lord. As they did that, we lost the distinction when they wanted to refer to God, okay, they wrote Kurios, or the word God itself, of course, sometimes. But they would write Kurios, referring back. But they also would use Kurios in reference to others. Who in particular becomes the Kurios of the New Testament? Jesus, yeah. So he is Lord, and so he's Kurios, and throughout the New Testament, most of the time that you read the word Lord, they're using that with reference to Jesus Christ. Okay, you can just kind of keep that in mind. When they are referring to God, the God of the Old Testament, they most often will just use the word God, which in Greek is what? Theos. Okay. And which is where we get lots of our words. Theology, for example, study of God. Okay. Theos. So they use the word God. And occasionally, the New Testament writers will use the word Kurios, regular Lord, for God. Because God is, in addition to being Yahweh, Yahweh, he is also Lord in that generic sense. But in the New Testament, Jesus is given this role of Lord, and God is reserved to be basically God. Okay. We kind of make that distinction. So as you read through your New Testament, keep that in mind. What will you not find in the New Testament? Again, you will not find that a capital is O-R-N-D, normally. Let's look then at something that will give us this crossover and will help us. Okay. There is a scripture in the Psalm, not Psalm 23 this time, but there is a scripture in the Psalm that was very important to the people of the New Testament. That scripture is in the 110th Psalm, and it's verse 1. And in fact, we're going to find that in this verse is the most quoted verse out of the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Of all the things they ever quote from the Old Testament, this verse is quoted more often or referred to more often than any other verse out of the entire Old Testament. Who wants to read for me? Kirk, do you have it there?
The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.
Wow. Those few words are critically important to the people of the New Testament and the Old Testament as well. But the New Testament folks understand clearly what that verse is saying, whereas people in the Old Testament maybe didn't quite get it. They didn't understand exactly what David was saying in the 110th Psalm. So everyone should know by heart the 110th Psalm, verse 1. Okay, sure. And so here we are, but let's see. Now you're reading the NASB. How does it put our two words Lord in this case?
Just as it does up there, all uppercase in the first sense, the second sense, just capitalizing the first letter and that's it. Well, yeah, just the first letter.
Gotcha. Okay, so the Lord says to, or said to, my Lord. This is a critical distinction, an understanding about God and Jesus Christ. And this is the distinction that is actually driven home by our peoples in the New Testament over and over again. Very important for us to understand, I think. The Lord, Yahweh, or Yahweh, perhaps, said to my Lord. And here, the word for Lord in the Hebrew is the regular word for Lord, not the word that they ever used to stand in for God. That was Adonai. Here, there is no stand-in word needed. This is the word they actually just used to mean Lord. When the scriptures referred to Abraham as Sarah's Lord, it meant this kind of Lord, regular Lord. And that's the kind of Lord that's being used here. The word in this case is Adonai. Adonai. Okay. Very important distinction. Okay. And our friend Sir Anthony has done marvelous work in bringing this out, because a lot of times there's a lot of confusion, even in translations sometimes, over these two terms. Happily, am I reading the King James up here, I suppose? Okay. Happily, the King James people got it right. Okay. And most of our translations get it right. The NASB gets it right in Psalm 110 and 1. Okay. Beautiful. Now, what do you see in this then? What's happening? Yahweh said to, David says, my Adonai. There's three involved here, aren't there? There's David, the writer of the psalm. And here is his God, who David was actually, again, calling by name. We've got the stand-in, Lord, or in Hebrew, Adonai. And then there's another involved here, and that is someone David calls my Lord. Okay. Adonai. Who is this Lord to David? Who is David's Lord? David is king of the land. David is God's king. He is set over all the people. The people bow before David. They do. They honor David as king. And so who in the world would be David's Lord? Now, he's not talking about this person, this being, God. He's talking about someone else. He's talking about the Christ. Right? I don't think anyone would argue that. He's talking about the Christ. And at this point, they don't know that he's going to turn out to be Jesus of Nazareth. They just know that he is coming. And David is seeing way out into the future, some centuries into the future, and saying, there's somebody who's going to be over me. There's going to be someone who I will call Lord. And for all eternity, that is the case. In the resurrection, the Christ will be David's Lord. For all eternity, the Christ will be David's Lord. So David's role was kind of temporary, wasn't it? But there was one coming who would be Lord forever. Terrific. Okay, now, let's go to Acts for just a moment, and we'll bring this together. In Acts, the second chapter, verse 34. For David did not ascend into the heavens. He's speaking of this very verse, by the way. He did not ascend into the heavens, but he saith himself, David himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. So everyone take in the English in King James here on the screen for just a moment. And notice that we're looking at the Lord, capitals O-R-N-D, said to my Lord, regular O-R-N-D, sit on my right hand. And the next verse says, until I make your foes your footstool. So here we have Psalm 110 in verse 1 being quoted by the Apostle Peter in the New Testament. Wow. Okay. And here, the King James has kind of leapt out for us. They've done something that on occasion some of the translations will do. And that is, they said, well, it was definitely capitals O, R, and D in this case in the Old Testament. So let's just bring it over. So they brought over the capitals O, R, and D for the reader to help you distinguish between Lord and Lord. Otherwise, you get regular word Lord and regular word Lord, and the sense of what Peter's saying on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:34 is kind of lost. That we're talking about two different ones here. Okay. Well, so that's grand. Lord said to my Lord. Most translations will do that, or else they will just use two regular Lords, and you got to figure out that the first one is a reference to God and His name, and the second one is to the Christ. The King James is right, and some of the other translations are right, to go ahead and capitalize the O, R, and D in. And they do that on occasion where it's a direct quote from the Old Testament, and they know that in the Old Testament, it's Yahweh or Yahweh. Okay. So they know, let's go ahead and do it because we've got grounds to work on. But it's not in the Greek text that way. Okay. It's just regular word Lord in the Greek text. Okay. So what do you think? Are we getting the sense of this? Now, what does this tell us then about these two? Here's David in his view of things. David says, the Lord, that is Yahweh, said to my Lord, my Adonai, if you will, Adonai, sit at my right hand until I make your foes your footstool. Thus it is, David is, at this point, in Psalm 110, he's speaking in a prophetic present, meaning this hasn't happened yet, but he's seeing a time when it's going to happen. It's going to happen way out into the future. We do learn in the New Testament, and that's the real point of David's message that day. He was being very persuasive to the Jewish folks that were gathered together on that day that he was speaking to by raising Psalm 110 and verse 1 to them, because they were all believers. They were all Jewish believers. Luke, in this account, refers to them as devout Jews. Okay, from every day. That means they were very dedicated. So they would have known this verse. And what Peter is pointing out to them is, you know this statement that David made? He wasn't talking about himself. He hasn't gone into heaven. David hasn't ascended into heaven. Okay. But someone else has. And that is the one that he refers to in the 22nd verse of the second chapter and says, you know, hear, O Israel, what? Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him. Okay. So it's Jesus of Nazareth that Peter is talking about this day, and that's who that he is bringing to the people as being Adonai, right? David's Lord, the one that he saw in the prophecy, the one he saw in the vision. Wow. And so now Peter equates this fulfillment of this prophecy with Jesus ascending up into heaven. He has ascended in heaven. David didn't ascend into heaven. David wasn't talking about himself. He couldn't be his own Lord anyway. So, but he was talking about the Christ when he would come, and how that God would, though he would die, God would raise him up from the dead, and then God would take him up and set him at his own right hand in heaven. Wow, does that make sense? It's really quite beautiful, isn't it? They refer to this passage a number of times in the New Testament. Peter does, Paul does. They were very excited about this. It also tells us something. The Christ, the Lord, this Lord, he's not Yahweh. He's not Yahweh. He is, to describe him, the psalm uses the word that is normally used to describe one who is a superior, someone who's superior in rank, someone who is greater than yourself. David's saying, he's greater than me. And he will be David's Lord through all eternity.